Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Never knew that I would be the one to break through. Now I wake up and I pay dues, so faithful. Better watch out for them fake fools, the snakes too. Can't be paid up on the frame, dude, we stay true. Everything I do is from God to raise you.
Yeah, life is like a testing ground, it's to grade you. Yeah. It'll show you how you are to God or degrade you. When I pop up on this cold beat, I'm an angel. I can see right through your angle, dog, when I grace flow. Started out as hungry young bulls out to make dough. Make the system off the pedestal, using all this bull. When I drop the dirty heavy stool, I flush the toilet too. Yeah, I know that I'm not perfect, but I put in work too. Cause faith without some work, dog, it'll murk you. Haters been inside your head, outsmarting you. Haters taking all your bread, outworking you.
Welcome. What's going on, everybody? This is your boy, Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. And today is Friday, April the 12th of 2019. And the time is 12 noon Central Time. As always, we have another outstanding show scheduled for you today. As you know, I'd like to get right into the meat of the message. I know your time is valuable. I respect you. I respect your time, so I do not want to waste your time. I want to spend as much time revealing, explaining, illuminating, and simplifying the word of God, the word of Yahuwah and his son, Yahushua. So today, my brothers, today, my sisters, we want to jump into one of the most important topics for me is when, you know, this whole subject of the genealogy, if you will, of Yahushua, yourself, or Jesus the Christ. So when we look at the genealogy, if you will, of Jesus Christ, he's from the line or from the lineage of the son of from David or the son of David. He's called son of David. But there is this debate that's always been a debate because of the name and because of this and because of that. So, you know, a lot of people always ask me, you know, because when you look at the ancient texts and when you look at a lot of things there, you know, there is difficulty which nailing down this topic. And a lot of the knowledge, a lot of the gnosis, a lot of the overstanding that I have come from a lot of misunderstanding of Yahushua the HaMashiach. And so when I talk about, you know, my master teacher and where are the first master teacher, then that would be Yahushua ben Joseph. or Yahushua the HaMashiach. So we want to delve into, and this, I don't know if we'll be able to get through this in one show, but we want to take our time and go through this to clear up the air. And I've done this show before, but I want to do it again, because the last time I did it was about 5 or 6 years ago, when I talked about, you know, Jesus Christ, and talk about, you know, Yahushua ben Joseph and Yahushua the HaMashiach, and understanding how these names and these titles and how Joshua and Yahushua both mean the same thing, and how in the later books, what we call the Hebrew books and the Jewish books, and what they call the Talmud, really shed light on this topic. And it's really, really important, because a lot of people get really confused, you know. And I was going to talk about, you know, something else, but, you know, when it comes to power, dunamis power, a lot of the information, especially if you're a member of the life management system and the Kingdom Millionaires Training Center, it comes from that religious roots of what we call the Bible. And when we talk about the Bible and we talk about, you know, the authenticity of the Bible, you know, there's a lot of debate, there's a lot of this and there's a lot of that. But what I want to focus on is really the immediate measurable results, or what I call the proof of the narrative. Now, there's going to be a lot of stuff that I'm going to say during this little, you know, probably 2 or 3 part series, but it's very important that you focus on the things that I focus on. So when we look at the stories that's inside the Bible, those stories are what we call allegories. Now, that doesn't take away from the historical significance, which is what we're going to focus on a lot during this series, is the historical facts or the historical significance of what history calls, or what history says, is, you know, again, Yahushua ben Joseph. And we want to look at, you know, the biblical proof or reference that talks about, especially like in scriptures like Matthew chapter 1, verse 17, that talks about the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. And from David until the captivity of Babylon, there are 14 generations. And from the captivity of Babylon until Christ, there are 14 generations. And so when you do the historical evidence of tracing back the 14 generations, you will find that there was, or there is, what Josephus talks about, and we want to talk about it. We want to look at this highly debated Yahushua ben Joseph, or Yahushua ben Yosef, because remember, Joseph is an English word. And so when we talk about, and I mean, for me as an etymologist, I'll try to go back to the original text and I try to find the original name. So that way we can historically prove. Now, remember, I have to prove it, you know, cosmologically, biologically, and then also biblically or esoterically. So when we look at it from that perspective, OK, now we're talking about something that Yahushua ben Yosef, Y-H-Y-O-S-E-F. And then when we go even a little bit further, they replace the Y with an I. And then we got a little different pronunciation, but we still are able to trace back using history what it talks about in the book of Luke, chapter 3, verse 23. Luke 3:23, when it says, Jesus, when he began his ministry, was about 33 years of age, being the son of Joseph, the son of Heli, H-E-L-I. And so we're able to do some, you know, with those names. The son of Matthai is spelled, because Matthew is spelled M-A-T-T-H-A-T in the ancient text. And it talks about the son of Levi, the son of Melchi, not Melchi Zedek, but Melchi, M-E-L-C-H-I, the son of Jamal, J-A-N-N-I, the son of Joseph. And then it goes on and it talks about this. When we look at these names, they're different names when we look at it from the way that they were spelled back when Yahushua was supposed to be walked around on this planet. Now, it's something that's really important to understand. So Jesus was obviously, based upon the text, a preacher. You know, he was obviously a master teacher. Obviously, based upon different things that he did, he was obviously a miracle worker. He was obviously a healer. So these were attributes and characteristics that has been assigned to Yahushua. So all throughout the Gospels, we look at different places where there were lessons that were being taught, that there was a certain experience or certain parables that were being shared. And so all of the disciples, all 12 of the disciples, and that was actually more than 12 disciples, but for the sake of the, you know, from the biblical text, the 12 disciples, and then there was always another group of people besides the disciples that was always following him around, and he was, you know, sharing with them. So I want to talk about the things that Yahushua focused on, which is the same thing that I focus on. And then we're going to get into that. So Yahushua always focused on five major things. Number one, how you think. He really didn't tell you what to think. He just wanted to assist you with how you thought. That was a big, all through the scripture, he focuses on thinking. Then the next thing that he focused on was knowing. He always talked about, and we're going to give you the scripture references and all of this good stuff on, you know, not only do you have to be able to be a good thinker, but your thinking should be based upon something, and your thoughts should come from somewhere. So if I'm thinking about, you know, let's say losing weight, I should know something about losing weight. And in order for me to know something about losing weight, I have to understand something about losing weight. And then if I can understand something about losing weight, then that puts me in a position of being in a process of losing weight, which finally leaves me in a place of doing the things that I need to do to lose weight. And then we can add on also, you know, we can talk about the fruit or having. So Yahushua always focused on thinking, knowing, understanding, being, doing, having. So those were the objectives, if you will, and those are my objectives. So my objectives are the same objectives that Yahushua had, that Jesus Christ had when he was on the planet. And the objective is, again, to make sure that everybody has the ability to think for themselves. They have the ability to be able to be a knower, not a believer. They got to be able to have understanding. They should be being something. They should be doing something. And that's going to lead them to having something. And so when we talk about the master teacher, the original master teacher, you know, Jesus would often ask his disciples, what do you think? And he would always ask them, what were they thinking? Because what he was getting into, he wanted them to think. He did not tell them what to think. A lot of people think when we look at the story and as we go through this, it's really, really important to understand that it wasn't that he told them exactly to do this, that he always presented them with a parable. He always presented them with a story. And from that story, from that parable, they was able to extrapolate a certain way of thinking. And so Yahushua ben Yosef always presented stories. He always used a parable. The Bible says in the scriptures, which we'll get into, talk about he never taught unless he taught in a parable. And the reason why this was so important is because he knew. Because remember, he wanted them to think. In order to get them to think, he didn't just give them an answer. He gave them a story. Because from that story, knowledge was extrapolated. So, for example, when the Sadducees, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the Reverend Dr. Bishops of his day, presented him with an impossible riddle, an impossible story. So the Sadducees, the Pharisees, they saw how he taught. And so they wanted to catch him or trap him by doing the same thing, by presenting him with a story. Now, remember, this is really important because we want to talk about it from an historical we want to talk about it from a historical position more so than a biblical position. So we're talking about, again, Yahushua ben Yosef. So Yahushua ben Yosef is really interesting when we look at the similarities of Yeshua, the HaMashiach, or where we get the name Jesus Christ. And there is a historical record that can be, quote unquote, followed. And when we talk about this, especially if you get into some of the stuff that I studied back when I studied the Kabbalah and some of the, you know, ancient Jewish mysticism and the Jewish Talmud, 1 Timothy 2:3 says this, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 says, God, our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and mankind, the man, Jesus Christ. In the ancient text, it says the man, Yeshua ben Yosef. But I want to put the emphasis on the word the man. Now, there's one mediator between God and mankind, the man. Our Bible says Christ Jesus. Some text says Yahushua the HaMashiach. The oral tradition, the ancient text passed down by Orthodox Jews says Yeshua ben Yosef. So it is this Yeshua ben Yosef that's talked about in all of the Jewish mysticism because of the tracing it back again to try to find the original text. But there is the debate. Now, I just want to stick to the historical evidence and not into, you know, man-made tradition. So men, you know, I'm going to use the word promoted. I'm going to use the word empowered. I'm going to use the word, you know, elevated. I'm going to use the word glorified. And finally, use the word deified. Yeshua ben Yosef or Yeshua ben Joseph. You have to come to that conclusion on your own. Because remember, Yahushua never told nobody to worship him. I can't find it nowhere where Yahushua said, Jesus Christ said, get on your knees and worship me. He always told everybody to worship the Father. Now, he said that when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He was saying that when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Me and my Father are one. Now, however you extrapolate that, to me, that means that same thing I say, which means that I have the mindset of the Father. I'm not saying that I am the Father. I'm just saying that I'm Philippians 2:5. I'm the vibrational equivalent of the Father, and you have the same potential, meaning that you can do his will instead of your own. So Yahushua ben Yosef wasn't Essene. He wanted to do the will of the Father. And Yahushua in Hebrew, again, was the same as the name Joshua in English. And in different books in the Bible, it was actually changed to Joshua to do what? Cause more confusion. And so there's a lot of people that have a lot of confusion. And I remember doing this when I was doing this study way back in the day. It was the same thing. Everybody has a lot of concern because of the name, because whether you're doing it in English, whether you're doing it in Hebrew, whether you're doing it in Greek, whether you're doing it in Aramaic, whether you're doing it in Spanish, whether you're doing it in Latin, okay, you're going to get different names, but they're all essence, again, the essence of it. So this is what Yahushua always focused on, thinking, knowing, under or overstanding, and then implementing or being, doing, and having. So everything get lost, and people fail to engage in these attributes that Yahushua expounded. And so to me, it's more important that we focus on what he focused on. Because when the Sadducees brought to him a woman who had consecutively married a bunch of brothers. Remember that story in the Bible where this lady, she had seven brothers. And they asked Jesus, like, okay, wow, like whose wife is she? Like she's been, you know, married to a lot of these brothers. So Jesus replied and says, you are in error because you do not know the scriptures or the power of God. So when the Sadducee presented this quote-unquote powerful riddle to Yahushua, that wasn't a powerful riddle because he was telling them that, okay, if you knew the scripture, then you wouldn't even be asking me this question. So throughout his teachings, he always emphasized knowing the truth and the development of what I call experience or what's a good word for it? It's like experience-based knowledge. So my knowledge comes from experience. So I take what I've learned and I've read and learned a lot of stuff, but then I have actual experience. And so Yahushua did the same thing. He used experiential knowledge. He always focused on making sure that people not only had the word, but they also had some experience to go along or to verify that the word that was given was true. So knowledge cannot stand alone. Let me say it again. It's very, very important. Now remember, I'm trying to explain to you how I've gotten to my level of overstanding. Because knowledge cannot stand alone. You got to have some understanding. So understanding, understanding, and overstanding is all part of this third piece. Because remember, we start off with, first of all, you got to be able to think. You got to be able to have critical thinking. So Yahushua, you know, Ben Yosef was a critical thinker. And so if you don't have critical thinking skills, then you can easily get tripped up. Because if you got critical thinking skills, then you're not going to just be tossed to and fro by any wham or any whim of doctrine. You're gonna really sit down and you're going to get some historical fact. You're going to get some stellar or cosmological fact. Then you're going to get some biological facts. And then you're going to get some esoteric and some historical facts. And you're going to do your research. And your body and your flesh may be in a hurry, but your spirit is not. The body is temporary, so the body wants everything now, now, now. But the spirit is eternal. So the spirit is relaxed. So this is why the Bible says, walk in the spirit, and you cannot and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. See, the flesh is always, because the flesh is temporal. So Yahushua, he understood that he didn't live in the flesh. So I don't teach from a flesh. I don't teach from a sense of urgency. I don't teach from deadlines. I don't teach from, you know, ultimatums. I don't do anything that's spiritual in a hurry. Now, I do a lot of other stuff in a hurry because my flesh is in a hurry. But my spirit, my spirit is eternal. My spirit, I got all eternity. So I'm in no rush. And everybody's in a rush. That's why they miss God. I love sitting back and just watching. Because critical thinking skills, you have to have exponential knowledge. You got to have experiential knowledge. If you have no experience, like I tell with my kids, they want to go. I was just talking to them last night, and they don't like when I say because they're social drinkers, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that. I just don't don't drink, and so when I was telling them about, you know, getting experience and why I didn't like intervene or try to pull them one way or the other. That's the same thing Yahushua did. He never told nobody, you better do this or else this. He never gave them an ultimatum that was negative. He always gave them the opportunity to make their own choice and their own decision. He allowed them to have experience, exponential experience. He said that, I think you should do this or you should do that. What do you think? He always said, who do you say I am? He asked questions in the form of a story. So Yahushua ben Yosef was a very good critical thinker. And he had experience, or what is called exponential knowing or knowledge. And then that gave him the ability to under, to over, and to understand. And a lot of people can't do that. A lot of people have problems under, over, and understanding because they don't have no experience to go with it. So if I'm telling you a parable of about the farmer planting seeds, and you've never planted a seed, you was never a farmer, you don't know a farmer, you from the city. Let's say you grew up in the inner city, New York. You've never seen a farm. Your definition of a farm is going to the grocery store and, you know, picking it up. So if I was to give you that parable in a story, you have no experience to relate to the story. That's why Yahushua always told stories in multiple different stories. That's why I give multiple different examples. That's why I'm doing this about, and I've already did a series 5 or 10 years ago called The Sacred Name, or The Unutterable Name, where I went through exactly what I'm going through now, and now I'm doing the exact same thing 10 years later, except I'm going through it in a different way. I'm adding more historical fact. I'm giving more examples using scripture. I'm really focusing more on the name, you know, Yahushua ben Yosef or Yahushua ben Yosef, because again, Joseph is English, so Yahushua ben Yosef. So that way you can get some historical fact, because those names you can research. Some of the other names that's not a part of the written tradition, they're part of the oral tradition. And then we just did the series, the private series, where everything I'm saying was inside the body, because Yahushua always taught both. He taught exoteric and esoteric. So it doesn't take away from what I just talked about in the inside narrative, because you need both. You got to have the internal Christ, and you got to have the external Christ. It's the ability to understand both, but both of those have been convoluted. Because if I'm a bad guy, you think I'm just gonna give you the gun and I'm gonna load it for you so that way you can, you know, shoot me? Of course not. So if the bad guy, you think, you know, you cannot research what I'm sharing, you can't find this on the internet. Just like the stuff I share, just like stuff when we talk about in the next pay-per-view series where we break down, you know, a holy matrimony. We break down, again, this whole ideal of sex. And we break down the under-over understanding of the, you know, male, female, and the, you know, hermaphrodite. And what that means, what is gender and sexuality? Y'all know that those are not the same, right? You know, gender and sexuality is not the same. And so we got to break that down because everybody thinks they're the same. But again, that gets back into critical thinking, having some experience to go with your knowledge, and then have the ability to implement that experience to give you some over, under, and understanding. Then you're eligible to formulate a being. So you cannot maintain a mental disposition until you've done some critical thinking, until you come to something that gave you some experience that led to some knowledge. Now you can formulate an understanding. Once you get those three done, okay, you're ready to be a being. So you can't be without those other three. So that's what Yahushua taught. So that's what I learned from, again, the big G in the form of the Son. So if you come to me and you have not done no critical thinking, you have no experience to go with what you say to go with your knowledge. I mean, if I'm telling you the parable of a farmer who took his seed and he planted, and some of it fell on good soil, some of it fell on bad soil, some of it didn't even hit the ground at all. The birds came in and plucked it up. And I'm telling you this story, and you have no frame of reference, no experience, I'm going to tell you another story. I'm not going to tell you that story because you cannot extrapolate, because you're going to ask me, well, okay, what does that mean? Oh, you don't know nothing about farming. So you don't know if you take a seed and you plant it where there's a bunch of rocks, the seed ain't going to hit the soil. You don't know that if there's a bunch of thorns and bushels and weeds and I plant a seed, the weeds are going to choke. They're going to steal the nutrients from the seed. And so the seed is not going to grow. And if I just throw the seeds on the ground, the birds are going to come by and they're going to eat those seeds. See, I've seen that with my eyes. But if I plant the seed, if I remove the rocks, if I remove all the weeds, and I put up a scarecrow and I bury the seeds in the ground and I keep the birds from coming by, that seed will grow. But if you don't have no personal experience about farming, and I tell you that story about the parable of the farmer planting the seed, you're going to look at me a little dumbfounded. You're not going to understand, so you cannot establish a mental disposition of what the parable of the farmer planting the seeds. That's, to me, that's what everybody should be debating and talking about. We should be debating and talking about the nuggets that Yahushua dropped. But a lot of people don't, they don't do that. And a lot of people will demonize you if you don't understand what they understand. If you really look, I mean, all through the Bible, man, what about the time when he washed the disciples' feet? Now, remember that, when that scripture that talked about where he brought the disciples and Jesus asked him, do you understand what I have done for you? Now, for me, he washed my feet. I was like, yeah, you know, you wiped the dirt off my feet. But Jesus was doing something way deeper than that. By washing their feet, he was telling them that, hey, just like I read in 2 Timothy, I'm a man just like you. I'm not exalting myself. I don't think I'm better than you. I'm not looking down on you. If you wash somebody's feet, man, that's intimate. That's private. That's personal. That's like, you know, unless you get paid. Now, they do, what do they call them now, pedicure and manicure. I know my wife goes all the time and get her feet and her nails done. So if you're paying me some good money, I don't really feel like a little less than. But if I'm doing a foot washing service, I'm just washing your feet. Like, that's kind of subservient. Now think about it for a moment. Somebody's coming to your house off the street and they say, hey man, I just want to wash your feet. First of all, you're going to look at them like a little like, yeah, dude, I don't know you. Like, why? Why would you want to wash my feet? I would feel real uncomfortable if somebody wanted to wash my feet. Real uncomfortable. Because it almost is like you kneeling down and you washing my feet. That's a really subservient position. So why did Yahushua do that? Again, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. This is good. And it is pleasing in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. That's one of the scriptures that really changed my life when I was really wrestling with this whole idea of the door. When Yahushua talks about he's the door, he talks about he says he's a good shepherd. He stands at the gate. He's the gatekeeper. He could have said that I'm the pastor. He could have said that, you know, a lot of other things. And it's really interesting in some of the things that Yahushua said about himself that very few people really talk about or think about. But 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, the scripture that I just shared with you, lets you know the importance of both sides of the story. Because remember, anytime the word Christ is before Jesus, he's talking about his position. Anytime the word Jesus is before Christ, he's talking about his body or his manhood. He's talking about his humanity. So in this scripture, he's talking about the oil that, again, the name Jesus represents man or his body. So he's talking about the oil inside of his body. And so very few people, Yahushua was light years ahead of everybody else. That's why he was a master teacher. That's why I teach according to his methodology. I just emanate everything that Yahushua did. That's all I do. I just emanate the exact same thing. Because everybody got the wrong Yahushua. They got Constantine version. God willing, time permitting, we'll break down the difference between, you know, Yahushua ben Yosef and Yahushua the HaMashiach and Jesus the Christ, who came on the scene, you know, with the Flavians, when Flavinus Josephus rewrote, again, history. The winners of wars write history, brothers and sisters, not the losers. And without this understanding, what happens is, when I did this series 10 years ago and I talked about, and it was entitled The Unutterable Name, and I remember I was a part of the sacred name movement, and I went through that whole thing, and I wrestled with this whole ideal of Jesus Christ, because everybody's saying he didn't exist. Everybody's saying this, that, and the other. Yeah, Jesus Christ. I mean, the formulation of what Constantine, that character doesn't exist. But Yahushua ben Yosef, or Yahushua ben Joseph, proof and evidence. You can ask any Orthodox Jews who understand the Talmud, and they'll bring you all type of historical evidence to prove or to show. And then they'll also break down the difference between what they call Jesus and what we call, or what they call, Yahushua, which is a shortened version of the name of Yahushua or Yahushua, which is another really name that means Joseph, or not Joseph, or Joshua, which really means salvation. And so when we talk about Yahushua or Yahushua, it really get down to understanding Hebrew letters of Yad, Shin, Vah, Hev. Yah, Shin, Vah, Hev. Or Yah, He, Vah, Hev. Or Yah, He, Shin, Vah, Hev. As we talked about before, even the Orthodox Jews, most of them, they don't even have the shin. They have the case of the missing shin. So when we look at it in Hebrew, Greek, Latin, and then modern English, then we see the issue of the son, or the concern for me, because it goes from Hebrew, Y-H-Y-E-H-S-U-U-A, and then it goes to Greek, I-E-S-O-U. Then it goes to Latin, I-E-S-O-U-S, or I-E-S-U-S. Then it goes to English, J-E-S-U-S. And so, because everybody knows that the J was introduced during the 14th century A.D., replacing the letter I in the King James Version. So the name Jesus is just a transliteration, not a translation, a transliteration of the Hebrew name Yahushua, which is a shortened form of the name Yahushua, which really means Joshua, and the word Joshua really means salvation. So the name Yahushua really means salvation. So Jesus and Yahushua, they really are the same thing, but it's just one's in English and the other one is in Hebrew. But that doesn't explain anything about an actual man who walked around. So who was Yahushua? And is he the Lamb of God? Or was he, you know, God incarnate? Remember, Jesus never told people what to think. He gave them, one, critical thinking skills. Two, experiential knowledge. If you ain't got no experience, according to Yahushua, you ain't got no knowledge. From those two things, you extrapolate and over and under and an understanding. Once you that, now you can be. You in other words, you're not eligible to call yourself a spiritual being until you've done one, two, three. Critical thinking, experiential knowledge, that gives you understanding. Okay, now based upon those three things, tell me who you are being. Okay, today I am being a master teacher. That's who I'm being. Okay, how can I be a master teacher? Because I did these other three things. I did some critical thinking. I got some experience that went with my thinking that gave me some knowledge, and my knowledge gave me an under over an understanding. Now I can be, do, and have. All throughout the scriptures explain this to us. That's why it's so highly debated. So if I am, and I am, sharing with you the keys to the kingdom, that's establish your mental disposition of being. Now, I remember one time that scripture, when they asked Jesus in the Bible, or what Jesus asked them, who is my neighbor? Like, he always asks a bunch of questions. Jesus always asks a bunch of questions. So that scripture in the Bible where he asks, okay, who is my neighbor? Remember when he's getting crucified, say, who is my brother? Who's my sister? Who is my mother? He was always, because he never told people what to think. He never told people, you know, what he asked, you know, who do you say I am? Remember, he was getting crucified. Pontius Pilate said, are you the king of the Jews? What did he tell him? He asked him a question. Who do you say I am? So he's asking, who is my neighbor? So Jesus told the story of the Good Samaritan. Y'all remember the story of the Good Samaritan, right? And then what he's doing is, like, if you go to court and how lawyers ask questions, and they call it redirecting the witness. So Yahushua was good at redirecting people's attention or thinking. He was redirecting the thinking. So he's redirecting the question to a matter of being. So he's saying, which was or who was his neighbor? So he answers the question by asking the question. He never really gave an answer. He just asked the question. Okay. And then when the guy wanted the Caesarean soldier wanted his daughter healed, and he says, you know, blah, 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 you know, my daughter needs healing. Can you come to my house? I mean, Jesus, he is telling Jesus that about the daughter. And he said, okay, yeah. He said, oh, no, you ain't even got to come. I'm a soldier. I give orders too. All you got to do is just say the word. And what did Jesus say? No greater faith have I seen. Because he knew that Yahushua could do what he said he could do, that he didn't have to go anywhere. He just had to make it up in his brain. All Yahushua, he was telling Yahushua, whatever mental disposition Yahushua maintained, that's the fourth element I was talking about being. Yahushua was always in a place of establishing people's being. There's a lot of what I call being statements in the Bible. Now, I have a book that breaks that down where I focus on seven of them. And this is what I call in the Bible, where it says, be ye. Now, one of the ones that I like in the Bible, it says, be ye holy. Why? For I'm holy. Be ye perfect. Be ye separate. You know, be ye transformed. There's a lot of be ye statements in the Bible. Be ye. Because he's always focusing on your mental state. So, number one, Yahushua was always focusing on your critical thinking. Number two, he's always focused on you getting experience to go with what you call knowledge. So you got a belief system, you got to scrap that, and you got to get some experience. And that experience will validate that belief is true. Okay, now you ain't got a belief no more. You got a knowing. You know. If you don't know, you can't grow. So Yahushua was all about being statements. He was all about making sure that people had being statements. That's the same thing that I do in the life management system. That's the same thing I do with the Kingdom Being Ask Trinity. That's why we got cosmology. That's why we got biology. And that's why we're breaking down, again, esoteric, and we're breaking down, again, theology. So that way you can have that three-stranded cord that is not easily broken. Because people are going to come and they're going to challenge, and the scripture says, in the last day, there's going to be a great falling away. Now, remember, the difference between me and, like, there's nobody else. Now, all the people in secret societies, they all contact me. And they all say, so, dude, you still teaching that Jesus crap. And then people in the church, they all contact me. And they say, dude, you still teaching that science crap. There's nobody that can teach both. I'm the only one that I know of. I'm the only one that can combine spirit and spiritual, that can combine science and spirituality, biblical spirituality, the Bible. I don't know nobody that can combine the Bible. People get to my level of understanding and they don't believe in Jesus. You cannot find nobody on earth. I cannot find. I've talked to a lot of people. Ask any guru, do you really believe in? And you change the name. Use the name. Use the name I use. Do you really believe in your? And that there was a guy walked around. His name was again Yahushua. Because they play that. Why and the I, and they moved it around as well. But just ask the question. Do you believe in Yahushua Ben Yosef? And then my question to you today, do you believe in Yahushua Ben Yosef? Now, what do I mean by believe? Okay, we already read Second Timothy, right? So do we need to read that again? Because, again, until you really see what's going on, I have to, the enemy's job is to make sure that you are always guessing, that you have no certainty. That's his job. He has to make you unsure. He got to put, you know, doubt. If the glove don't fit, you must acquit. So he got to get you to follow other gods. He got to make sure that you have no. That 1 Timothy 2:3 doesn't make sense. So if you can't make sense of 1 Timothy 2:3, then it's going to be difficult for you to be really successful in a life management system or the Kingdom Being Ask Training Center. Because everybody, especially now, got a lot of proof because they got Constantine Messiah. Excuse me. And I've told you guys to go to YouTube and watch the video. I don't know what else to tell you other than, like, man, if you haven't watched that video, Caesar's Messiah, you're doing everybody you know a disservice. Because it's right there. That proof in that video, Caesar's Messiah, it can't be debated. Because again, Caesar's Messiah is based upon historical fact. Everything in there you can find on the internet, off the internet, wherever you want to look at. Everything in there. Everything in that YouTube video, Joseph Atwell's book, I forgot the name of the title of it. I think it's called Caesar's Messiah too. Because if I can play the shell game with you, and if I can get somebody like they did with Flavinus Josephus to rewrite the history books, then of course that secret that's hidden is going to cause what? Confusion. And everybody's confused. Very few people have ever researched the Flavians, the Emperor Flavian. Very few people have ever researched Vespasian. Very few people have ever researched Titus. Very few people have ever researched Domitian, the other emperor. Very few people. Very few people have done any really good study on Judaism and history, just basic first century Jewish history. 70 AD. Very few people, because if you do the history, irrefutable, if you see it, then you can see, like, whoa, this makes sense. Because that was a reason why you had to combine, again, paganism and Christianity. That was a reason why Flavinus Josephus, who y'all know that wasn't, he changed his name. That wasn't really that guy. You know, he got to always find, like within the African American community, that happens all the time. We're all sold out by somebody inside the camp. Somebody is hooking up with somebody. If you look through all of that, it's talking about that the Flavians, they were Christians. They were not Christians. That's historical fact. They were C-H-R-E-S-T-I-A-N-S. They were not C-H-R-I-S-T-I-A-N-S like we are today, like everybody claimed to be. They were Christians, and I've done a 12-hour series on the difference between Christians and Christians, the difference between Christos and Christos, because Christ means drug, Christ means weapon. Now, you can be drugged, or you can be a weapon. It has to do with your, again, whether or not you got the right Christ, because what is the best way? I mean, it's like if you dating somebody and they got a twin. Like identical twin, like how do you know which one you got? You know, they could play mind games on you like forever. Because unless you know one got a dimple here or one got a birthmark here or one got something that makes them different where you can tell the difference, they can present two. Now, it's like 888. I did the whole series on 888. Y'all do know that the Luciferians. Now, this is what changed my life when I found out that pretty much all the names in the Bible, when I went to Satanic, you know, this, that, and the other, they use the same names. Y'all do know the duality of all of the 72 names of God, right? Because y'all heard me did the series I did on the Lesser Keys of Solomon and the Greater Keys of Solomon, right? Y'all do know that every secret society is based upon, Freemasonry is based upon Solomon. It's based upon the books in the Bible. Y'all do know that, right? All black magic, everything is done from biblical texts. Y'all do know that, right? Y'all do know that they use the same Bible that you use, praise God, they use to destroy God. Everybody knows that, right? I hope y'all know that. If y'all don't, y'all got to get out. You got to go hang out with some bad people, and you'll see how they conjure up demons and devils with the same book that you use to cast them out. That's why this is so important. Because if I can create two Jesuses, which they did, how do you know you got the right one? How do you know there is one? This requires, now remember, I get paid to do this. So I go up against, you know, what I call the College of Bishops. There's always some reverend like the bishop who has an issue with what I say. So I got to be able to prove, and I got to be willing to die for what I say, and I am. I will take a bullet for everything that comes out of my mouth. Because trust me, if I'm going to say it, I've researched the hell out of it, and I prayed for death before error. So I would rather die than teach error. I just say, hey, Father, you know what? Because I've already done everything. I ain't got nothing else to do. That's why I'm doing this. I've drove all the nice cars, lived in all the nice houses, slept with all the girls, made all the money. I've done all of the worldly stuff. That's why you will see no sense of urgency, because remember what I said before, the flesh has a sense of, right now, if you got a sense of urgency, that means you're in your flesh. The spirit is eternal. The spirit knows we got all day, boo-boo. I ain't in no rush. So your spirit man calms you down. So when you live in the spirit, you're always the quietest man in the room. I remember that saying by Bruce Lee. Always be afraid of the quietest guy in the room. I always make sure everywhere I go, I'm always the quietest guy in the room. I'm the guy that sits in the back, and I ain't going to say nothing. I go to church. When I do go, I sit in the back, and I don't say nothing. Because the people that are saying and talking the loudest, them the fools that know the least. It's the guy that you should be concerned about is that fool that's sitting in the back, that show no emotion. He's not riled up, because why? He has something called critical thinking skills. He got something called experiential knowledge. He didn't get his knowledge from a book. He got real life experience. He's been in a few fights, and he knows if you go head hunting in a fight, he knows, because he did it, and he got smoked just like I did. He knows if you start swinging at somebody's head and they duck a few times, he knows that if you hit a man in his ribs, he knows that if you know anything, that the knee is designed to go frontwards and backwards. The knee is not designed to go left and right. So he knows if you take out a man's knee, the fight's over. He knows that, because he's been in a fight. But if you ain't got no experience, you're going to do like they see on TV. everybody on TV, they the first thing they do, they ball their fists up and they throw a punch at somebody's head. Like, if you do that with me, the fight's over. Because I'm just going to take out your knee. And you can't fight it with one leg. And if you try to hop around on one leg, I just take out the other one. So experiential knowledge, that's what Yahushua was about. Yahushua didn't come teaching this fairy tale stuff. He came, he was an Essene. So that's why the Essene Gospel of Peace tells you exactly what the real, again, Yahushua ben Yosef did. They did like stuff that, normal stuff, like that stuff that we talk about. They got together, you know, they ate clean food, they drank clean water. They talk about what they did. They talk about how the devil was poop. That's death. Death was basically having, you know, what we have, a traditional Western diet. That's what demon possession was. That's what the real Yahushua taught. Now, go to a church today and say that. Because based upon what the real Yahushua taught, pretty much everybody's full of devils and demons. So he had to get them out. And the way that he got them out was with an enema. They flushed out there. And, you know, that's what I'm doing right now. I'm what? I'm flushing out my intestines. I'm keeping my body clean because my body is the temple. That's what the true Yahushua ben Yosef taught. That's all in the Essene Gospel of Peace. That's what Joseph Atwell was trying to express, expose, and expand before the Roman Emperor Titus comes along and changed the game by adding and tittles. That's why the Bible says heaven and earth will pass away before one jot and one tittle. Now, I've done many shows on the Maserat Jews. So, again, if you haven't listened to that, especially, again, if you're part of the Life Management System, that's all in the Wisdom module. So you got it in there. You just got to listen to it. Because the Maserat Jews, they took out dots and tittles, and they changed the original text. So there was, you know, a lot of things that were done to make sure that you stay confused. The easiest way to get out of confusion to do exactly what I did. Just, okay, Father, obviously you know and I don't. This title, HaMashiach, means the anointed one. So I don't know who that is. Now, that's what I said. And they say his name is Jesus. I don't know who that is either. Some people say his name is Yahushua. Okay. I don't know who that is. So if there is this Messiah, there is this, you know, Greek word, you know, Christos, you know, so why is the Bible in Greek? And if the dude wasn't Greek. So everything basically means the anointed one. Okay, who is that? So Yahushua the HaMashiach, who is that? Because Yahushua basically means the same thing, it means Messiah. That word HaMashiach means anointed one, which is another word for Messiah. So the both words mean Messiah, basically. It means the Messiah, or Messiah, the anointed one. Because you say HaMashiach, he means anointed one. Yahushua means Messiah. So it means the Messiah, the anointed one. So Messiah, again, is a different term. Because the Messiah simply means Savior or saved one. HaMashiach means anointed. Now, remember, the anointing comes from within the body with the Christos oil. So if you are anointed, if you are the anointed one, that makes you the Messiah. That's the same thing that it says in the Essene Gospel of Peace. That's what Yahushua taught. Yahushua said, and again, this is in your Bible. Yahushua said that he was the firstborn, first baptized, if you will. The first christened, if you will, the first chrism, if you will. So he was the firstborn of all creation, number one. Then he's the firstborn of many brethren, number two. Well, in the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 29, he says that God foreknew, God being Paino, being, again, the I in the inner verse inside of you. Because remember, this is a parable. This is parable A. Everything in the Bible is a parable. But very few people can understand the parable. So if you got the outside meaning, okay, that's great. You need to have both, because then that's going to give you experiential or experiential knowledge. If you don't have experiential knowledge, then you just got knowledge. and it has no experiential. So the way that we get experience is by actually implementing the critical thinking. So if you do not have critical thinking, you can't have experiential knowledge. You may have knowledge, but it's not experiential. It's not the kind of knowledge that Yahushua had. So Yahushua said, or the author of Romans, I think Paul wrote the book of Romans, Romans 8:29, let's start with verse 28. And we know that God works all things together for the good of those who love him and who are called according to his purpose. So we could wrap it up right there. Because 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 8, 9, and 10 said that if you do not have the love of the truth, God himself will send you a strong delusion. That way you will believe the lie. So everything starts off with what I did on January the 1st of 2009. That's when I really got quote-unquote christened. That's when I got anointed. That's when I really got saved, even though I was licensed and preaching in 10, 15 years before that. But until January the 1st of 2009, what happened on January the 1st of 2009? I did exactly what it says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 8, 9, and 10, and I did exactly what it says in the book of Romans chapter 29 by accident. I just said, okay, all things work together for the good of those who love him. 2 Thessalonians said that if you do not have the love of him. So a lot of people love money and cars and houses and stuff just like me. It wasn't until I got to a point where I just had a love of him that I found him or her. Without that, brothers and sisters, this whole everything that we're talking about is a moot point. So to get to this point, you got to go through that point. So you cannot get knowledge without love. God sends you a strong delusion. So when I talk to people who they just wanted to debate, I know that they can never understand. That's why I do not debate. I just educate. Because they don't have a love of the forefather. They have a love of trying to prove me or you wrong. They have a love of humiliating people. They want to try, but it doesn't work on me. Because, again, I have unlimited patience because I got all eternity because my spirit is eternal. My body is temporary. So my body is saying, like, hurry up, man, hurry up. I ain't got time to be sitting around here talking in circles. But my spirit is like, hey, take your time, boo-boo. I ain't in no rush. I got all eternity. So if you walk in the spirit, you got patience. If you don't walk in the spirit, you don't got no patience. So when I go to the gym, I'm not in the spirit. So I'm in a rush to get there, get my workout on, and then get back out. Now, when I get there, it's like, okay, I start like, oh, bam. I get into my little groove, and then, bam, I start getting to the spirit. The next thing I know, ooh, wow, I meant to go there, just say 20 minutes, and next thing I know, I look up at the clock, a whole hour gone by. Why? I went there in a rush, but I got into the spirit, and in the spirit, there is no time, there's no space, there's no mass, there's no matter. So that's how you know Yahushua, again. But the concern that I have is 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 35. And there's a lot of other scriptures like that as well that talks about the man, Jesus Christ. Because Romans 8, 28 says, and we know, didn't say that we believe, and we know, that's the second piece, critical thinking gives you knowing. No critical thinking, no knowledge. So most people I know, they don't have no critical. They can think, but they can't think critically. They can't think. They can only think linear. They can think frontwards and backwards, but they cannot think up and down. There's a lot of people that can't do that. They can't think. They can only think linear. They can't think circularly. They can't think outside of the box. A lot of people do not have critical thinking skills. So Yahushua came that you may have critical thinking skills. The ability to think critically. That comes from being very observant. It comes from being very analytical. It comes from reflective, very comparative, very rational, very unbiased. The most important thing, that's the Greek, that's the definition of the word truth, means unbiased. So you got a bias. See, on January the 1st, I didn't have no bias because I had turned my back on everything that I believed. That's the moment that I found bias when I got rid of all bias. You have to be unbiased. Critical thinking means you can't come with already a predetermined solution. So you coming to me with the answer, but you asking me for the answer. Okay, let me see how does that dog don't hunt. Because if I don't tell you an answer, that matches the answer you already got, you're going to reject my answer. Now, that's every Christian I know. They come with an answer. So they're not looking for an answer. They're just trying to debate. So they, if you come with an answer, then that's not critical thinking according to what Yahushua said. Yahushua ben Yosef, whom we call Jesus the Christ. So this Yahushua the HaMashiach had this ability to think critically because he has some experiential knowledge that gave him understanding, that gave him a sense of being, a sense of purpose, but gave him the ability to do that purpose so that we can have the fruit that comes from implementing that purpose. That's the life management system. That's the Kingdom Millionaires Training Center. That's what I'm doing today's class. Instead of talking about money and some other stuff. Why? Romans 8:29. For those who God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brothers. Let me say that again. For those whom God foreknew, he predestined. That's where I got the word diakonia, destiny. That's where it comes from. That means foreordained. That means to set aside, to mark out in advance. That means to set a limit or to set a pattern in advance. That means predetermined in advance. Everything is in advance. What we talked about last night in the private show, that word violent means in advance. It means protecting or promoting or advancing the kingdom in advance. Now, everything is about, again, all you're doing down here is just walking out what was already done. That's it. This is not everything that's being done down here was already done down here, basically. So everything is already done. Verse 30. And those he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. So what does that mean in English? That just simply means that what you already know something, but somebody's preventing you from knowing it. Like I said when I talked about money and I talked about wealth, or I'm talking about health, talk about wisdom and relationships, you already got all that stuff. But somebody is preventing you from seeing that you already got it, so you got to go get it. So you're trying to get something that you already got. Now, if that's not the craziest thing I've ever heard of, that's pretty much it. So the concern of the problem is we do not have anything that's authentic. Everything that we have is a copy. Everything that we have is a manipulated version of the original. So your job is to find the historical record. Your job is to get in contact with the historical record. The facts about, basic history. What was the landscape like? What was the real estate like? Now, you can go through and you can do like some of the research that I did and get into over the instant Israel and Jerusalem. And at the time the Bible was written, you know, what was things like, you know, say 2,600 years ago, because, Judaism came into being around about that time frame. And, you know, we know the zodiacal information, we know the esoteric information, but there is some facts that actually took place. That during around that time frame, there were certain things that was going on in Palestine that's talked about in the book of Zechariah, chapter 12. So in the book of Zechariah, chapter 12, again, based upon historical evidence, was written about 2,600 years ago. That matches up exactly with some of the things that was taking place with the Israeli-Palestinian, you know, issue that's still going on today. The knuckleheads still fighting and still debating over the, you know, whose land, holy land, blah, 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 the Jewish state and all that stuff. All this stuff is talked about. All of that stuff is historical fact. And from that information, if you do the research, you can gather some, you know, information to assist you with formulating, again, more proof or more facts based upon historical document or historical evidence. Now, do you need to do all of that stuff? Absolutely not. I'm saying that some people do. Some people need that extra evidence. Some people want to know all of the truth or all of the facts. So We'll continue tomorrow as we do a part two to really get into a little bit of the history before we get into some of the biblical proof by showing you in the Bible some of the stuff that's actually in the Bible that helps show you how there were certain things that were changed to prevent you from being. Because there are 28 times Joshua the high priest, I think it was 28 times, is called Yahushua inside the Bible. 28 times. Based upon, the name or the spelling we got. That's why a lot of people, say, or even, because remember, Joshua took over after Moses. Now, there are a lot of people say that none of these characters even existed. None of the biblical characters even existed. And so that's the narrative, and so that's the proof. That's the journey that I've been on, is to get facts. Because remember, when you get to a place of science and understanding, then everything that I'm talking about doesn't exist, because the science doesn't match up. So how am I able to maintain the overstanding of Jesus Christ or Yahushua ben Yosef and Yahushua the HaMashiach while maintaining science and also are maintaining biology? Because remember, that three-stranded cord is not easily broken. Well, thankfully, that's something called the cosmos. So God has written, he's not written his laws on tablets of stone any longer. He's written them on the hearts and in the minds of his people. So the ability to do what Yahushua did, and remember, Yahushua was the original master teacher. So I get everything that I do from Yahushua, from, Yahushua ben Yosef, or Yahushua the HaMashiach, whom we know as Jesus the Christ. And so when we understand that, then it gives you exactly what to do. What do? Number one, critical thinking. You just can't have thinking. It got to be critical, what we already established, critical thinking. Number two, you got to have experientias. You got to have experiential knowledge. So if you just got book knowledge and you got no experience to go with the knowledge, okay, that dog don't hunt. Because, again, I can con you. I can give you something in a book, but if you don't have the experience to go with to verify what you got in that book, okay, you're going to get conned. What happened to me is going to happen to you. They're going to sell you some, John Avanzini going to come to town. He's going to tell you that, you got to make that, that $1,000 vow, and then God going to bless you tenfold. Or somebody going to tell you if you don't tithe, you're going to hell. Or somebody going to come and tell you this, that, and the other. And you're going to buy it because you don't have no experience to go with the knowledge. You got knowledge. You read something in a book. But if you ain't got no experience, again, you don't have number three. That is overstanding. Now, you have under. That means you're under somebody. But are you over? If you don't got overstanding, now remember, Yahushua came, he never told nobody what to think. He told them how to think, because he knew if they knew how to think, they was going to get the same conclusion as him. If you know the mathematical formula, you will always get the same mathematical equation. So if you know math, if you know 2 + 2, now if I just give you the answer, 2 + 2 = 4, and I don't tell you how I got the answer, then you are dependent upon me. That's why Yahushua said, I didn't come to give nobody a fish. He taught them how to fish. And so what's the key? The key is critical thinking, critical thinking. And critical thinking, brothers and sisters, is very, very, very hard to find. In fact, it's almost non-existent on this planet. It's very difficult to find a critical thinker. That's why I'm able to combine science and spirituality, and I haven't found nobody else that can combine it, the two. Everybody either got science and know Yahushua or HaMashiach, or they got Jesus Christ and them crucified, and they don't know nothing about cosmology. They don't know shizness about the body and biology. They don't know that laminin inside the body is shaped as a form of the cross. They don't know that the gluons hold the body together. They don't even know that the pineal gland is actually a eye inside of the brain that's inside of the sphenoid bone, which is the holies of holies that's talked about inside of the Old Testament. And the human cell is an exact duplicate of the temple or the tabernacle that was built by Bethesiel, which is my name in Hebrew. He was Moses' right-hand man who built the temple to house the Shekinah glory of God. And the human body is the Bible, and the Bible is the body. Very few, I can count on one hand, very few Reverend Dr. Bishops overstand that. That's the problem. The problem is that there is no ability, so it's easy to fall for Constantine's Messiah. Because why? Easy believism. Doesn't require no work. All you got to do is Constantine said Jesus Christ is Lord, and you just buy it. We all did. Nobody did, nobody said. That's why I said, if you watch Caesar's Messiah, and if you go through the historical evidence, And if you look at what Constantine, I mean, the dude, I got to give mad respect. If you look at what happened at the Council of Nicaea, if you just look at that history, no religion, just history only. Just look at the history. It is impossible, because historical fact destroys it, because it reveals the emperors that established it. And you will see that they were called Christians. They were not called Christians. Even in Titus, I think it's 3 Titus, it breaks it down and it talks about this. Why is this so important? Because this is the smoking gun. Everybody said there is no Jesus, or everybody saying that there is one. Okay, which one is it? Is there a physical Jesus that walked around? Now, the Bible says everybody who do not believe that Jesus Christ came in the flesh is not of God. That's what it says in John, I think it's John 10. That word means interior. Again, look it up in the original text. Now, I'm not saying that he didn't walk around. I'm just saying that if he doesn't walk inside, if you do not have Christ eternal within the body, then you don't have something called the ability to exercise good behavior. Now everybody come to that overstanding in different ways, but at the end of the day, if you still got what the Romans have established with the Flavians and Vespasian and Titus and all of the Roman emperors, if you still got that historical, not historical, it's historical because it was written, because they rewrote history, and if you still are depending upon, you know, Pontius Pilate, then you might be in a little trouble, because at the end of the day, you're not going to be able to be, do, and have. Because remember, you can think, know, and overstand. But does that thinking, knowing, and overstanding lead you to have the ability to be? Remember those be ye statements? There are 7 being statements inside of the Bible. Are you being all 7 of those statements? Remember we said be ye holy, be ye perfect, be ye, all those being statements. Are you being that? The only way you can be that if you overstand it. The only way you can overstand it if you know it. The only way you can know it if you can think, critical thinking. That gives you the ability to be. The ability to be gives you the ability to do. The ability to do gives you the ability to have. But it all comes from having a personal, private, productive relationship with the real Yahushua ben yourself, who we call, who we know as Jesus Christ. Now, thankfully, God is on the heart. That's what he did for me on January the 1st of 2009. He knew, okay, this Negro is a little slow, so guess what? We're going to help him out. And thankfully, the Ruach and the Pneuma of the Holy Spirit, it led me and it guided me through the historical evidence and through the biological evidence and through the cosmological evidence. And with those 3, that 3-stranded cord that is not easily broken, I was able to come and find my way back to the true doctrine, the true Melchizedek, the true melanated chi of the Zedek, the true. Because remember, how many truths are there? Well, Hero Israel, the Lord your God is one. So God is, he's all knowing, he's all power, he's all present, he's all simplistic, and he's all benevolent. According to James, I think it's what, James 3, all good gifts come down from the Father of light. All good gifts. In him there is no variableness, there is no change. So if you got a God that he changes, one day he's for you, the next day against you, you probably got the wrong one. Because there's a lot of gods out there that they only for you if you do this. I used to have that God too. That's the hoop jumping God. If you don't jump through this hoop, then you don't get no blessing. Now, I used to have that God too, but I traded me and got, I got the real one. I got the forefather that it talks about in the oral tradition that's not written now. And without overstanding the oral tradition, by getting in contact with the Ruach and the Pneuma, no man can teach you this. This only comes from the leading and guiding of the Ruach. This cannot be taught. I can't help you. The Reverend Dr. Bishop can help you. You got to get on your knees by yourself, brother, sister. You got to go to God yourself. You gotta contact the, you gotta get off this planet. You gotta get off this rock. Man looks on the outward appearance. God looks on your heart. If you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to his children who ask? Brothers and sisters, if you haven't done it already today, you need to ask the Father. You should do something similar to what I did on January the 1st. I can't tell you how to pray, how to go to the forefather, but all I recommend is, that's what I did. I turned my back on everything that I knew. Now, I had been preaching and laying hands on folks for damn near 15 years, and I knew it was wrong because guess what? I did not have no fruit. I had a form of godliness, but I had no power. And now God is with me 24/7, 365. His presence, I don't need to go to no building. I feel his presence right now. God should be in your life every day. You should be doing what I do. You should be driving the road. You have to pull over because you're just overwhelmed with the goodness and the grace and the mercy of the Father. You just have to pull over on the side of the road and just cry because you got cosmological proof. You got biological proof. And you got the biblical and esoteric proof. Not only the outside meaning, the tradition that everybody got, but you got the dominion that comes from inside because you got basileia. The kingdom of God is here. Basileia means rulership. It is not a place. It is a mental disposition. You have that, or you should have that, and that was given to you by your Father. And you must come in contact with the true, authentic gospel, brothers and sisters, because there's a lot of stuff out there. And all I'm simply saying, as we will prove tomorrow, as we delve into more of the historical facts, getting into Zechariah chapter 12, and we're going to go through Zechariah chapter 12 really quickly, breaking down again the original people, because once we do that, brothers and sisters, then that destroys all of the naysay. So, brothers and sisters, I want to thank everybody so much for joining me on today's show. Tomorrow, again, we'll continue with what you should be doing so that way you can understand what you should be having. We're also going to break down what I call the best teacher in the world, Jesus the Christ, Yahushua the HaMashiach, because he taught using strategies, methods, and a high level of thinking in the form of allegories or stories. So we're going to break down what I call didactic teaching, which is the same thing that I do and that I got from my elder brother, Yahushua the HaMashiach. So, brothers and sisters, I love you. I appreciate you. God bless you. He has a name written on his thigh that no man can pronounce. May the Son, may the Ruach, the Holy Spirit, continue to lead you and guide you in all truth, because it will never, ever, ever manipulate or control you. And as always, my brothers, as always, my sisters, I will make no doubt about it. I will see you in eternity. God bless you.
Yeah. Focus on yourself and stop trying to scheme others. Cause once you get your wealth, then you can start to wake others. Stop running from yourself and take up your throne. Don't let them entities take up your home. Cause you're the entity that makes them stone cold demons. So I'ma hit them hard when they hit low. I'll be on your boulevard with my righteous flow. I'll be pulling all these cards with this mighty flow. Never claim to be a thug, I just walk with love. They just wanna give me the mean mug because they nothing but someone that's not dealing with themselves. They probably need a hug. I'm the one that hit them with this truth. It's sweeping under rug. So deal with it yourself. Don't hide behind the drugs. The nation is the nation's epidemic. This is not a gimmick. I'm just here to make the people feel it. Orchestrate and kill it. Put it in its place and ask some grace, and we can re-reveal it.
This world is yours. The show, so do it for yourself. You the day one, day one. So do it for yourself. You the day one, day one. Now it's time to activate and be the main one. This world is yours. It's yours.
I'm back of all my gritty. Used to live in pity, throwing pity parties. Now I'm litty, I am my committee. Went from starved to living large. We live with no regard. So bring your light, cause you the star. They say we come from Mars. Either way, it doesn't matter, cause you make it happen. You the author of your story, make or break it, captain. See right here, I'm building mansions on this track for rapping. Get the hell up out my house if you ain't about it, faker. A lot of fakers, man, it be a lot of takers. They just here to make me strong so I can elevate this. I'm just here to bring you something that'll last for ages. And you're just here to bring us something that'll last for ages. Now that's contagious, I can write 1,000 pages. But you gotta make the choice that'll rattle Satan. Until you pull up in a race and show us how to make it. Until you pull up with your voice and show us how to take it.